of Solomon chapter 2 and the verse number 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stirs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Amen. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray together? Let us seek the Lord. Father, grant the gracious ministry of thy Holy Spirit, that as we ponder thy word, that it shall be applied by the power of the Spirit of God, that it will be fruitful, that it will have an effect in each of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we may be those who are influenced by the word of God. We do not desire to be influenced by the opinions of men or the thinking of men, the philosophy of the world, which is godless. But we pray, Lord, that we may be those who are influenced by God's word, that our thinking, our thoughts, our beliefs, our practices, our actions, our very words are governed by the word of God. O Lord, draw near to each one of us to this end. Meet each of us at our own individual point of need. And if there be need of salvation in some heart, Lord, grant that even today in this service, that saving grace will be applied to that life, to that heart, and that that person will come to know the Lord. And we pray, Lord, in the case of every believer, we are all at different stages in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual development. We ask, Lord, that thy word will be a word in season to build us up, to lead us on with thyself, to advance us in grace. Help us, Lord, today, and grant that the word of God will be that word in season to every heart. These things we ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. It's a great passage that we have read, and it would be perhaps even more delightful if it was the corresponding time of the year, if the winter was over and past. But we're just heading into the winter. But we have good words here that ought to cheer our hearts as we head into this season of the year. Verse 14 is the text, and I want to take but one part of the text. The Lord is speaking to his church, and he says, let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Communication is vital to any earthly relationship. When communication breaks down, the relationship suffers, it deteriorates. But where there is meaningful and where there is faithful converse, the relationship will grow from strength to strength. And what is true of the earthly is likewise true of the spiritual relationship between Christ and his people. Where there is consistent communication between the Lord and his people, between his people and the Lord, then fellowship will grow stronger and fellowship with Christ will grow sweeter. Two-way communication between the Lord and believers is essential for a loving and a joyful union. Now, if you cast your mind back a couple of weeks, the last time we were in this song, we were considering the church's estimation and the church's desire for the Lord's voice. The blessing that comes by the words of his mouth. And you'll notice in this passage that we have read, verse 8, you'll notice there is this recognition on the part of believers. There's a recognition, there's a discernment of the Lord's voice. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. The picture that is set before us in this text is that of discernment. The child of God recognizing the voice of the Lord. That's what sets the believer apart from the world. The ungodly world, the unsaved world, they do not hear, they do not discern the Lord's voice. But the believer is altogether different. Look at verse 10. These are wonderful words. These are words of experience. My beloved spake and said unto me. Notice the intimacy here. Notice the experience of intimacy. My beloved spake, and he said unto me. He said unto me. This is personal communication. The spouse is able to relate to what her beloved has said personally to her. And that's how it is for every believer. The child of God has had that wonderful experience whereby he or she has heard the Lord speak to them. And that word is personal. It is personal communication. The Lord spake and said unto me. The Lord said unto me. And therefore, there is not only this desire, but there is the delight in the heart of believers towards the Lord's word, the Lord's voice. But what is true of believers is also true of the Lord. Remember, there is a reciprocation in this relationship. The Lord has the same desire, and he has the same delight. In verse number 14, he says, let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. The Lord delights to hear the voice of his people. And what a subject that is. What a statement that is. What a thought is contained in these words. Let me hear thy voice. What is the Lord saying to us? My beloved spake and said unto me. Well, what did he say to me? What is he saying to us today as his children? He is saying, let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. And that, of course, opens up an avenue of study, an avenue of meditation. What words does the Lord wish to hear? What words, what voice does the Lord desire to hear? Well, I think in the first place we can say he desires to hear the voice of devotion. The words of devotion. Turn over to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And these words I know are familiar to us. We have considered them previously. But let's look at them again. John chapter 21. And the Lord is speaking to Simon Peter, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, My beloved spake and said unto me, and Peter can say this. Peter can say, well, the Lord spake to me. And this is what he said to me. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, do you love me? And the Lord is saying to his people, let me hear thy voice. And what is it that he wishes to hear? It is the words of devotion, the voice of devotion. Simon saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time. Notice the emphasis on the second time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And three times the Lord directs the question to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Is that not an indication of what the Lord desires and what the Lord delights in? Now, stop and think about this. Now, let's not focus here on Peter and Peter's love for the Lord, but let's focus on the Lord. When the Lord directs this question three times to Peter, he is asking Peter in relation to his devotion, to his love. Peter, do you love me? The Lord is saying, let me hear thy voice. And the Lord wants to hear. He desires to hear. He delights to hear the voice of his people when we tell him that we love him. This is what the Lord desires. He wants to hear the voice of our devotion to him. So much so that he has to ask us on occasions, Do you love me? Do you love me? If you come back to the song, and in verse number 5 of this chapter 2, the spouse says, I am sick of love. In other words, I'm lovesick. The thought here is that she desires this affection. She has affection for him, her beloved. And she cannot live without this. She cannot live without him. And she's expressing this. She's expressing the extent of her love. Look at chapter 1 and verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. And we're lifting it out of its earthly setting and we're looking at it from its spiritual application. This is the church speaking to Christ. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. The church expressing her love to her Lord. Do we ever stop to consider, to contemplate that the Lord desires us to express our love to him? He says, let me hear thy voice. And the voice that he wants to hear is the voice of our affection, the voice of our devotion. She speaks here with this language of devotion. She cannot live without him. She cannot abide without him. It would be worse than death. And she says, stop and think of this, in chapter 5 and verse 16, she says, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. Now, that's being expressed to the daughters of Jerusalem, the people that are round about. She's describing her beloved to others. But I was thinking about that again last night. How does that make the Lord feel? When the Lord hears us talking about him in such a way, he is altogether lovely. And the Lord says, let me hear thy voice. What delight there is to the heart of Christ when he hears the voice of devotion. When his people sing, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Have we actually stopped to think what that means to the Lord? What delight that brings to the heart of Christ when he hears the voice of devotion. I believe it's why he says here, let me hear thy voice. And he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest. Now, of course, the Lord knows all things, and he knows our heart. But he desires to hear us tell him that we love him. He desires that. But not only is it the voice of devotion he desires to hear, it is the voice of supplication. The voice of supplication. He desires to hear the voice of prayer and supplication. And we know that because it's exhorted repeatedly in Scripture. You turn over, let's look at a few verses just to reaffirm this. Psalm number 50. Turn to Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50. And verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble. In other words, let me hear the voice of your supplication. When you're troubled, when you're weighed down, when you have specific needs, the Lord says, let me hear your voice. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And the same thought here is repeated. But look at what the Lord says, Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. Call unto me, let me hear thy voice. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now ask yourself, does the Lord want to hear the voice of his people's prayers? Well, I think these two verses would confirm that beyond all doubt. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 65 and look at the way it is expressed here. Isaiah chapter 65 and the verse 24. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I think that shows, if I could use it in this way to perhaps help us relate, that shows just how eager, how keen the Lord is to hear the voice of his people in supplication. Because he says, before they call, I will answer. And they're just framing the words together. And before they even speak, I will answer. What a tremendous promise this is from the Lord. Our supplication, our prayers, are a delight to the Lord. So much so that he says, even before they call, I will answer. Look at what the text says in the song. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. Sweet is thy voice. Do we ever stop to think about it like this? Prayer and supplication is something that is a delight to the Lord. He says it's sweet. Now the Lord hears many voices in this world, and there's many voices that are not sweet to the Lord. Some are bitter. But the Lord says this is a sweet voice amid all the voices that God hears in this world. There is a voice that is sweet to him. And what is it? It is the prayers of his people. It's when his people come to him with supplication. Turn to Proverbs. And I want to confirm this. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs and the chapter 15 and verse 8. Look at these words. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Verse 8. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Did I just say that the prayers of God's people are a delightful thing to him? That the voice of supplication is sweet amid all the bitter voices in this world? Well, here's the confirmation. The prayer of the upright is his delight. When we are praying, we are delighting the heart of God. We're bringing delight to the heart of God. Because prayer is an expression of our reliance upon the Lord. When a person prays, they do so out of a sense of need. That they cannot continue without the Lord. They need the Lord. That voice of supplication. If you take it in the sense of salvation. When a person calls upon the Lord for salvation, what does he say? I'm a lost soul. And I need the Lord to save me. And only he can save me. It's an expression of dependence upon the mercy of God. And likewise, in the case of the Christian life, when we pray to him, we're expressing our sense of dependence on him. We're exhorted to pray about everything. Remember those words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians. These ought to cheer our hearts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. He says here, be careful for nothing. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we have that word careful there, it's not in the sense of being, judicious care, but rather, if you split it up, full of cares, full of worry, full of anxiety. Don't be full of anxiety, he says, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me hear thy voice about everything. Are there family needs? Are there financial needs? Are there business needs? Are there spiritual needs? Well, then they fall into this category of everything. Everything. Joseph Scriven was right when he said that we ought to carry everything to God in prayer. What a privilege, everything. Because when we seek the Lord for guidance, we're expressing our dependence upon his wisdom. When we seek the Lord for help in trouble, then we are expressing our dependence upon His power. When we seek His provision, we're expressing our dependence upon His sufficiency. It is an act of dependence, of reliance. But it's also an act of recognition. When believers kneel at the throne of grace to call upon the Lord, to present their requests and petitions, they are recognizing that the one to whom they pray is able to grant their petition. David, in Psalm 5, if you turn over to that psalm, you'll find his habit. And we are creatures of habit. Sadly, all too often we develop bad habits. But as creatures of habit, we should seek to develop good habits. And here is a good habit. The psalmist said, David said, Psalm 5 and verse 3, he says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." The Lord says, "Let me hear thy voice." And David says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." He made it a daily habit to call upon the Lord. And the Lord encourages that, because you remember in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." The thought being, the Lord wants us to come to Him every day in prayer to bring these needs. "Let me hear thy voice," he says, the voice of supplication. But let's go a little bit further. We can add to that the voice of praise. Now, did you notice in Philippians 4, when I read it there, did you notice what was added to prayer? "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." With thanksgiving. Now, prayers are our requests, our petitions. We come to the Lord asking the Lord for those things that we need of Him. But praise is the giving of thanks. It is the giving of gratitude to Him. The Lord is worthy of praise. And the Lord particularly looks for that praise. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And we have the illustration of some men who prayed. In fact, all of them prayed. They prayed all for the same thing. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. He went into a certain village where there met him, verse 12, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So the Lord heard their voice. They lifted up their voice. The Lord heard their voice. They were asking for mercy. That word mercy there has to do with the relieving of their affliction. Verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." They were cleansed of their leprosy. The Lord answered their prayer. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." He's coming to the Lord with the voice of praise and thanksgiving. "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And that latter question, "Where are the 9? Indicates that the Lord is wanting to hear the voice of praise, the voice of thanksgiving. "Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The Lord desires the voice of praise We were singing in Psalm 100, and I was reading these words this morning before coming to church, and they really spoke to my heart again. Psalm 100 and the verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's the way we should come to church. That's the way we should enter into the courts of the Lord's house. This is how we prepare ourselves. You know, and I was reading this, just eating a wee bit of toast this morning, and I was thinking, we must determine when we enter into his house, we must determine to give him praise and thanks. To give the Lord thanks. And I had just gone out the back just for a moment or two, and the sun was just coming through some of the trees, and it was a nice crisp morning, as Edwin was saying. And I just said, thank you, Lord. This is a lovely day. And I said, Lord, help me to be thankful when I come into your house. Isn't it easy? It's easy to complain, isn't it? We can become very full of murmuring about everything. But yet the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, let us resolve today. Let us resolve today that each time we are permitted to come into the house of God, we will do so with thanksgiving. To give the Lord thanks. To enter his courts with praise. To bless his name. Serve the Lord with gladness. Look at verse 2. Come before his presence with singing. Do you know that the Lord wants to hear the voice, the singing voice of his people? The Bible exhorts us to sing unto the Lord. You ever wondered why the Lord made man with the ability to sing? Now, he gave that ability in greater measure to some rather than to others. But we have the ability to sing. And why is that? Because the Lord wants to hear that voice. The voice of singing. The voice of praise. We need to be a praising people. A thankful people. To give thanks to the Lord when we come into his courts. You know the first thing we should do when we come in, when we take our seats here? We should just bow our heads and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the Word of God, for the gospel of grace, for the Savior, for all your goodness. Let's be a thankful people. Because the Lord says, let me hear thy voice, the voice of praise. But one final aspect. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Malachi chapter 3. The Lord wants to hear the voice of devotion, the voice of our prayers and supplication, the voice of our praise and thanksgiving. And the Lord desires to hear the voice of godly conversation. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The fellowship of saints that centers upon the Lord, their conversation centering or focusing upon the Lord and those things that pertain to him, the Lord heard it. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it. And he hearkened, and a book of remembrance is written to record their concern and their delight and their reverence toward his name. And that record is written with the intention of honoring them at a future day. The Lord says, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. They're speaking about the Lord. They're speaking about things that are good and wholesome and profitable and edifying to the soul, and things that magnify the Lord. And the Lord takes note of it. You remember that plaque used to be published, "The Lord is the head of this home. He's the unseen guest at every mealtime. He's the silent listener to every conversation." And the Lord is listening. "Let me hear thy voice." And you know what delights the heart of the Lord? What delights the heart of the Lord is godly conversation. Conversation that centers upon him. It's not only soul edifying. Isn't it easy to talk about things that get you depressed? You can talk about all the worries and all the woes and all the things that are bad, and all it does is get you more depressed and more downhearted. But what edifies the soul is godly conversation. And you know where godly conversation stems from? It stems from godly meditation. Look at what it says there. "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Their conversation arose out of their meditation. They thought upon his name, and then they spake one to another about the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and the Lord recorded it in the book of remembrance. And you know, the Lord is listening to us. He listens to all our conversations. And when the Lord listens, when the Lord hears our voice, let's endeavor that the Lord will hear this conversation that brings delight to his heart. This is an age when people have much to say. And although they have much to say, there's not much in what they say. And there's a lot that grieves the soul and grieves the Lord. But let us be those who, in this age of increasing ungodliness, increasing wickedness, let us be those whose conversation is delightful to the Lord. "Let me hear thy voice," he says, "for sweet is thy voice." The voice of devotion. Let's tell the Lord that we love him. The voice of supplication. Let's pray about everything. The voice of praise and thanksgiving. Let's endeavor to be a thankful people, praising the Lord. And let's have the voice of godly conversation. These are the things that please the Lord. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. And may we stop to think about these things from the Lord's perspective. This is what delights him. Sweet is thy voice. Sweet is thy voice. Let's turn to 632.